I have chosen this evening a passage of scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I'd like to dwell upon the first three verses, some of the advice of the Apostle Paul of old to the Corinthian people. And he felt rather strongly concerning this, and it was written for the benefit of each one of us that we might have this valuable advice. So he told to the Corinthians there and wrote this to them. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he wanted to elaborate upon and explain to them the value of spiritual gifts. He says, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And so he's going back into the past lives of these people. At one time, they were idol worshipers. They were converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they had put off the old man and had put on the new man, even the man of the Spirit after Jesus Christ. And then he wanted to explain to them that he did not want them ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we really know, or any man knows, that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. And as I speak tonight, I want to touch upon somewhat as well, not only the spiritual gifts, but the power of the Holy Ghost, its value in our individual lives. We find Nephi of old in 2 Nephi 14:6 saying this, and he was full well aware of this. He says, if you enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. And we cannot underestimate the importance and the necessity of the functioning of the Holy Ghost in our individual lives. It is a valuable part of our lives. It is received after baptism by the laying on of hands, a literal gift by those having authority to bestow it by the power of God. And I might touch upon that a bit later. But its value in our lives we cannot and must not underestimate. The Holy Ghost, another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, can bring things to our remembrance, can be a part of our lives. And by it, we can make decisions wisely. It's a valuable influence in our individual lives. And going on in this same passage of scripture in Corinthians, now there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. In other words, they function differently. They're administered differently. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And like Paul told some of the Corinthian people, or rather the Galatian people, I believe it was, and I'm going to turn to that, even though I don't have it written here. It's in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And here it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, different ones down through history have valued this Spirit. They have known what it is to be profited by it. I know that Nephi of old, and we find this on page 26 in the Book of Mormon, was full well aware of the importance of the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. He was desirous to see and to hear what his father Lehi had had in that marvelous vision that is so often quoted by many of us. And I don't intend to go into that particular vision tonight. That is not my purpose. But he wanted to know concerning this vision, and sometimes even called a dream. And in verse 26, on page 26, it says, I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost. He had confidence that he might know, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. Now, it is given by the laying on of hands after baptism. But there still must be a continuance and a diligence on each one's part, as well as in times of old, as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. So he was looking down unto a time, approximately 600 years after this, when Jesus Christ would be born here and walk upon the face of this earth and lay down guidelines for you and I to follow and for all other peoples to follow. And we have the scriptures here laid out before us, the words of Christ and the words of God. We cannot underestimate their value. And they will accomplish therein regardless of what man may or may not do. We cannot frustrate the work of God. It's only man that can become frustrated. And we read here, for he, this God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for that much, you and I can be very thankful for this evening, that God does not expect any more of you than he did of Adam or Nephi or Lehi or Abraham or anybody else who ever has been or anyone who will follow us. He is a no respecter of persons. And the way is prepared from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. And so the way, even from the very foundation of the world, has been prepared for man to attain salvation through repentance and walking that path that you heard somewhat about this day, and clinging unto that rod of iron, which is a part of this marvelous vision, which is a representation of the Word of God. It is an invaluable tool for you and I to be able to approach the tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old. As well as in times of old, as in times to come. So we are not left without this opportunity, the same opportunity that Nephi had, to function under the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, the course of God is one eternal round, and for that you and I can be very thankful this night. Turning over to the book of Moroni in the 10th chapter, we find another function of the Holy Ghost in the lives of men. Now we find Moroni writing a record. And he's writing unto his brethren the Lamanites. And with that thought, let us turn on page 775 on verse 3. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, and that is this book from which I read, even the Book of Mormon, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye should remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down unto the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And I'll tell you what, You and I can be very thankful for the mercy of God. And a scripture came to my remembrance here that I would like to turn to, showing that God does reach out his hands unto the children of men. It's in Isaiah 9:21. It isn't really even a related reference, but it does relate indirectly to this. And it involves Manasseh and Ephraim and Manasseh. And they together, it says, shall be against Judah. Now God was not happy because Manasseh and Ephraim was against Judah. And it says, for all this his anger is not turned away. He was angry because of the problems they had one with another. But what I wanted to show here, and like I says, it's an indirect reference concerning the mercy of God. It says here, but his hand is stretched out still. And for that, you and I can be very thankful tonight, because of the imperfections of man and their stumbling in their walk. He could become angry with man, but his hand is stretched out still unto mankind. And let's go back to this particular reading here. How merciful the Lord hath been. You and I can be very thankful this night. And in verse 4, and when ye shall receive these things, even this Book of Mormon, I would exhort you that we would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with a real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. And so again, how thankful we can be that there is this Holy Ghost that can function in the lives of men. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know all things. Even as Nephi was desiring to have and see and hear about this vision, by the power of the Holy Ghost, so you can have things unfolded unto you. Even the promise here of those who read this book can have the truth of it unfolded by the power of the Holy Ghost. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so you really see how important it is. When I read over some of these things earlier, I didn't realize it was even mentioned as much as it is. I've had that experience a number of times on preparing for a sermon and then coming to the pulpit and even amazed at how some of these things fit together. And so we see how God's work is one eternal round, reaching out unto the children of men, those who he cares about, all mankind. And even as Christ, during that time of the crucifixion, in the time of the darkness upon the face of this land, and he spoke to his people upon this land, he says, how oft I would have gathered you, even as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. But how oft will I still gather you? And his arm is reached out still unto the children of men, even though they would stumble in their walk. It is reached out, but he desires the obedience of each one of us. Yes, we each got a reasonable service before God. In Romans 12, I would like to read a couple of verses. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul spoke plainly to the Romans of old concerning their reasonable service to present their bodies a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world. And that is one of the great problems today upon the face and breast of our land and upon the face of this earth, is because they're being conformed to the ways of the world. And he says, be not conformed to the way to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we each got that duty to prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. And we can know by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can know these things. I want to finish reading this seventh verse on page 775. And you may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. The same today, tomorrow, and forever. And so we see another very important ingredient coming into this. He worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. Now, faith is very important in the lives of men. Faith is one of the spiritual gifts, even exceeding great faith. But all will not have that type of faith. But it is also a fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. And baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. They all go hand in hand. And so faith is a very important thing in our life. And even as Paul said, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of all is charity. I'll touch upon some of these things a bit later. But faith is that invaluable tool that we each must have. And so he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. I would like to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. I have a related reference here from verses 4 through about 6, maybe starting with verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So be careful in your evaluation of yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't be lifted up in pride. Great nations upon the same land that we live upon fell because they become lifted up in pride. But to think soberly, so we're to think soberly and humbly before him, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now see, this important ingredient is coming in again. He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now what are you going to do with that measure of faith that has been dealt to you? It can lie dormant, or you can use it, and it can become a working thing in your life. And these gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost can function more fully in your lives if your faith is functioning as it should. We got to use our faith. Our faith will be tried for wise purposes by our Heavenly Father. The trying of our faith, we're told by James, worketh patience. And so we wonder why some of these trials, and all the Master and His Father is trying to do, is getting us to become a patient people. And you know, one of the strange things to me, and it really isn't all that strange, but what is strange to the world is maybe some of the words of the Apostle Paul. I believe it's found in Romans, the 5th chapter, and I'm not going to turn to it. It's about the first 5 or 6 verses. But he says, I glory in tribulation. A man glorying in trials. To many people that would sound strange. But tribulation works experience, or however it is, it works patience, and patience experience, I believe it is. Whether I have one before the other, they all work hand in hand there. And so, by this tribulation and trials, we can gain the patience and experience that is important for us to face the trials of life. Verse 4 in the 12th chapter of Romans. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So not everybody has the same responsibility or the same office. Not even everybody has the same spiritual gifts. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. But the important thing is that we might function in oneness, even as God and Christ function as a unit. That's what is important. And I like that beautiful prayer that Christ prayed in the 17th chapter of the book of John. When he prayed to him concerning the glory which he had with him before the world was. And then he says he prayed for his apostles that they might be one even as the Father and Christ were one. Even as we are one, he prayed to his Father. And then he went on down through that and prayed not alone for them, but for all those who would believe in their words, that they might be one, even as the ministry one, and even as God and Christ were one, that they might function as a united, effective unit. And I believe that more fully explains every one members one of another. We're really a part of each other, even though we aren't the same person. It's still like, just like a man and wife. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain, two, shall be one flesh. Not because now they've become this one person, but because they function as a unit, and there is, if one flesh, even though they're still twain. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to what? The proportion of faith. Now, is faith important or is it not in all the overall working of this? It is invaluable. But there's a lot of other things that are invaluable as well. Let's turn back again now to the 10th chapter of the book of Moroni and pick up it with verse 8. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. Plainly stated. For they are many, and they come from the same God. It's important that these gifts function in the lives of the children of men. We need them, and it's invaluable that we have them. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God. Now, this is very much the same reading that I was bringing out of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want to turn back to it a bit later. But I do want to read first the way they mention them in the Book of Mormon. Just a little differently And then I want to bring them out in the Bible. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. Now these gifts are given for the profit of men. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom. And we could preach a whole sermon, or any one of your ministry could, on the importance of wisdom. When I think of wisdom, I always think of the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. It's more to be desired than silver and gold and rubies. And all the things thou canst desire is not to be compared unto wisdom in our lives. So it's valuable. Now I want you to notice on these spiritual gifts, I believe anybody can have wisdom. But unto some is given a special part or portion. In other words, they have the gift of wisdom. And this says to teach the word of wisdom as a gift. And to another that he may teach the word of knowledge. And I believe this more aptly is an understanding of the scriptures more fully and complete. And to some have that special gift. And to another exceeding great faith. And I brought out early, to every man is dealt a measure of faith. And God even prophesies according to the proportion of our faith. And as I mentioned earlier, not every one of you is going to have exceeding great faith. I believe I know, or rather have read of a man who had that faith. And that was the brother of Jared. But now Jared, I kind of doubt if he did. He went to his brother and says, you pray to God and ask him this. He had confidence that this man of God had faith enough to do it. And I'm confident he had the gift of faith without a question of a doubt. And I don't believe any of you would even question my evaluation of that. He was a man that said to the mountains there and removed, and it removed. It takes faith. I tell you, it takes a lot of faith. He was one that saw the finger of Jesus Christ. And after he saw that, Christ couldn't even withhold himself from this man because of his tremendous faith. And so Christ showed him himself, and not only that, he showed him all things from the beginning of the world to the end thereof. But not everybody has to see that. They were written, and one day, in the righteousness of the people, they will be had. And these words of the brother of Jared will be read from the housetops by the power of the Holy Ghost again, or the Holy Spirit. They will be read. That time may be closer than you think. Let's read on a bit further here. And to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again to another that he may work mighty miracles. Now that is a gift. And to another that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. Now in the Bible it mentions the discerning of spirits. And it don't happen to mention what I just read there. Beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another all kinds of tongues. And again to another the interpretation of languages and diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. Not my will, your will, but as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. So we have some important things brought to our attention here. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I won't read all this, but I want to reread verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And I want you to keep that in your memory, because it is given for a wise purpose, for your profit, for your benefit, to help you in your walk of life. And then it goes on down through the spiritual gifts that I just read here. So I guess it really isn't important that I reread them all, with the exception that after prophecy, it says in verse 10, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. It's worded just a little differently. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So these are all for a very wise purpose with God. There's so much I could bring out in this chapter, and I invite you all to read what I'm skipping from that point down to where I'll pick it up again in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And these have been set in the church for a wise purpose again. And then the question is asked, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all the workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And we know the language would be no. Not everybody is going to do all these. Do all do it? No. But various ones do it, and we function as a unit, and then we have them all. So that's the way it is. Everybody isn't going to be an apostle. Nobody's going to argue with that. Neither does everybody have the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. Neither does everybody speak in tongues. Keep that in your memory, because I wish to touch upon it a bit later. There's one in Moroni that I would like to turn to along this line. A related one in the second chapter and maybe verse 2. When Christ spoke to his disciples of old as he laid his hands upon them. And it shows how the power of God works. It shows how the Holy Ghost is given. And that's why I wanted to bring this out. The Holy Ghost is given by the laying on of hands. Some believe today that you have to first speak in tongues before you receive the Holy Ghost. But I just brought out here, very plainly, do all speak with tongues? And the answer would be no. But I want to show you here how the Holy Ghost is given. And he called them by name to his 12 disciples that Christ had chosen upon this continent. Ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer, and after ye have done this, ye shall have power that on him whom ye lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in my name shall ye give it, for thus do mine apostles. So he outlined there is the way. Those having authority to give it could call on the Lord in mighty prayer. I would like to turn over to 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, for I feel there's another important reference here for our value. And this really involves from on page 161 and starts with verse 16. And it tells about baptism and different things of this nature. Well, maybe I should really read it because it gives the whole impact. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, and that is important, that we follow Jesus Christ with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy, and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, which you heard about a bit in the morning sermon, witnessing unto the Father that you're willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by falling your Lord and your Savior down into the water. And Jesus Christ set the example in this. We're all well aware of this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, came up out of the water, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we know that the Holy Ghost descended on him. And one that says the bodily shape of a dove, another says as a dove. And then it says, after you went down into the water according to his word, behold, then you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. And I want you to notice this. And then ye speak with the tongue of angels. Now this didn't say an unknown tongue or another tongue. It said the tongue of angels. And shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. If you go on down into this next chapter, I'm not going to read it all. But it says, and can speak with a new tongue. Now what is that new tongue? What is the tongue of angels? Is it an unknown tongue? Something that you wouldn't be understanding? Or what would it be? Go over to verse 3 on the next page under chapter 14. And now how could you speak with the tongue of angels save it were by the Holy Ghost? That's the way it's done. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. So after baptism, you put off this old creature by baptism. You're buried in the waters. And the old man is washed away. You put on a new man. And if you go from that point, seeking and feasting upon the words of Jesus Christ, for they'll tell you all things what ye should do, if ye do this and go forward, you could have this same tongue. You'd speak a new tongue. After Jesus Christ, not after that old carnal man. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. And those who complied to this also would speak the words of Christ. And so that's explaining it. How it would be. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. So it is important in our lives. Going back again on the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. And then this excellent way, what would it be? The next chapter goes into that beautiful chapter on charity and the value of it in our individual lives. And already brought out, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of all is charity. Mormon, in speaking to his son Moroni, had this to say, that charity is the pure love of Christ. And whosoever is found possessed of it with the last day, it shall be well with them. And we're to pray with all the energy of heart, he said, that you might be filled with this love, which he has bestowed upon all the true followers. All the true followers of Jesus Christ have this love bestowed upon them. You can read that in Moroni 7, 52 and 53 if you want the reference. I'm not going to turn to it. But it is there. And it is important. And so he says, yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Now I want to skip down to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Follow after charity, the Apostle Paul told these Corinthians. And he would said the same to you and I today. And desire spiritual gifts. It is not wrong to desire spiritual gifts. But rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's this unknown tongue. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And edify means to make godlike. That's one meaning. But he that prophesieth edifieth or maketh godlike the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues. And if I stop there, that might sound an odd statement. But rather that ye prophesied. So what Paul is trying to say, and it sounds like kind of a Dutchy way of saying it here, but what he's trying to say, I would rather that you prophesied, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So there is a purpose in speaking in tongues. But unless it's interpreted, it don't value the church. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Now, if he did this and you understood it, then it would be valuable. But now, if I suddenly would complete this sermon in an unknown tongue that not a one of you could understand, it wasn't interpreted, you might have all just as well been home. That's what he's trying to say here. But if it was interpreted, it'd be a different thing. There is purposes of the speaking in tongues. But we have to have them in their proper place and order. He even goes on to tell here that different instruments give different sounds. And we learn to know what various instruments are because of the sounds which they give. And in verse 9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. And I'm not going to read all this, and actually a lot of this would be valuable reading to all of us. But I don't desire to read the whole 14th chapter, but I invite you to do it though. But in verse 13 it says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you don't know what you're saying, your understanding is unfruitful. That's what he's trying to say. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So if we all sung in an unknown tongue, what he's trying to say here, if you understand, then you know the words you're saying. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned saying amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So one couldn't even say amen if you did this. And on down in verse 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he had spoken in tongues a number of times. I have no idea how many, and it isn't important that I even know. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now that was Paul's evaluation of it. Seems to me pretty plain. And then, note this, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Now what he's trying to say here, don't be children in understanding. Now there is a way this is to be, and he's just explained it. And he mentioned, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in a tongue, wherever it is here. I read it somewhere. But anyway, the importance of prophecy is more valuable unless the tongue is interpreted. If the tongue is interpreted, then it has understanding with it. You are able to understand. But he wants us to be not children in understanding. All he wants us to be children as malice, that we don't have any ill will one toward another. But in understanding, he wants us to be men. And sometimes there are many can be have their understanding of the scriptures in the attitude of a child. But we're to be in understanding as men. 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say, ye are mad? In other words, we don't understand what you're saying. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is this then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue. Now see, this is a list of them separate. Hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying, unto making godlike the body of Christ, unto its benefit, that you might not be children in understanding, but you might be men in understanding. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, and this outlines the way it is done, let it be by two, or at the most by three. Not 20 at once. That isn't what it said here. Or 100. Or 100, one following another. But it says, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. Course means one at a time. We're all well aware when you eat a dinner that's served in courses, you have the salad brought out in a course. You have the soup brought out in a course, and the main dinner brought out in a course, and the dessert brought out in a course. One at a time. And so it is in speaking in tongues. Let it be by two, or at the most by three, and let that be by course. And let one interpret. Now to me it seems like he gave rather plain, explicit description of this. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. In verse 33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I think that's what Paul wants us to be, men in understanding and not children. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. And if you have many speaking in tongues at the same time, it engenders confusion. And this right here says, plain as it can be, let it be by course, or one at a time, and by two, or at the most by three. Down in verse 39 and 40, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So I don't mean we're to forbid speaking in tongues, but it did say covet to prophesy, but let all things be done decently and in order. So I feel that he has explained this rather clearly here. I would like to turn to the book of Moroni again on page 776 and pick up with verse 14. and read down through 18 for a closing scripture tonight. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. That is the only reason. And there's a wise purpose in all these gifts. And we think of the gift to prophesy. We think of the statement that Amos wrote in the 3rd chapter, in the 7th verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And that is an important gift. But the others are important also. Wherefore, there must be faith, that thing that unto every man is given. If there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, and note this verse, ye can do all things which is expedient unto me. And I like that verse. That's a positive verse if I ever read one or heard one. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And that is the reason that they could be done away. So I hope perhaps tonight that I brought a few things that might point you a little closer to not only your reasonable duty and responsibility to God, but of showing you the values of the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, the spiritual gifts, and these things that are tied to them.
Deep things of God.